Just a quick reminder, we're in a series in Proverbs that we just started last week. And just a quick reminder for anybody that has missed this, what we're doing is what we're encouraging everybody to do is to join in reading through the book of Proverbs for the month of January. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs and 31 days in the month of January. So we're reading one chapter a day through the month, corresponding with the date of that month and that chapter. So today is Proverbs chapter 12. So if you haven't started yet, you're not too far behind. You'll be able to catch up. Also, there's a devotional book that I wrote several years ago that goes along with that. There's some hard copies of that back there on the Information Center. If you would like to take one of those, you're welcome to take one of those to help follow along. Today, I'm going to be talking primarily from Proverbs chapter 2. But I just want to start by giving you a little bit of a background and a story from my own life. Before I was a pastor, I was a youth pastor. And that feels like 100 years ago. And to some degree, there's truth in that because it was last century when I was a youth pastor. So it does seem like it was a long time ago. In our last church that where I was a youth pastor, we had these two guys in our youth group, Jimmy and Joe. Both of them came to Christ through our ministry there. And Jimmy and Joe individually were great guys. Like by themselves, they were awesome. And they really had a hunger for God and they were eager to learn and to grow in their walk with Christ. And with each of them, like separately, individually, I had a lot of great conversations with them about the Bible, girls, music, girls, cars, the future, girls, all the stuff that teenage guys are interested in, right? And we had some really good conversations, and there were times when just talking with them individually, I could really see some growth happening in their lives and see some progress in their lives spiritually. And that was awesome. But whenever Jimmy and Joe were together, you ever notice how, like, if you ever took chemistry class, there are certain chemicals that by themselves, they're perfectly safe, no issues. But when you mix them together, they become explosive and toxic, right? Jimmy and Joe, every time the two of them were together, they got into trouble. Like every single time without fail. And sometimes the trouble they got in ended up like with the police being called. So they were that kind of a, you know, two guys when they got together. It just kind of brought that thing out of each other, right? You ever have people like that in your life that when you're with them, they just pull a part of your personality out of you that most people don't see, right? Sometimes they kind of bring the worst out in you. We all have people like that in our lives. And Jimmy and Joe were kind of like that. So today we're going to talk about influence because Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, has a lot to say about influence. He has a lot to say about the influence that other people have in our lives. And I want to look at several verses just to start with where Solomon talks about the influences people can have in our lives. First of all, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. This is Solomon saying, I want to be a positive influence in your life. There are things that I want to say and I want to have an impact in your life. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. In chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he says, my children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. He says, I'm giving you guidance. I want to have an influence in your life. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Chapter 6, verse 3, follow my advice and save yourself. Chapter 7, verse 1, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Those are just a few examples, but over and over again, Solomon is saying this, I want to be an influence in your life. I have something to offer you. I have things to speak into your life, and I want it to have an impact. I want it to change your life in a positive way. And so Solomon teaches us that there are good influences in our lives that we should pay attention to, right? That there are certain people in our lives who set a really good example that it would be wise for us to follow their example. And so back to chapter 2, and this is where we're going to be spending most of our time in chapter 2. Look what he says in verse 20. He says, so follow the steps of the good and stay on the paths of the righteous. Hopefully all of us can identify people like that in our lives, right? People who they walk in a way that is good and they help us to stay on the right path. And in those times when we kind of start drifting, and those times when we're tempted to go down the wrong path, it's that person that steps in and says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm here for you. I'm going to come alongside you and make sure you stay on the right path. So Solomon says there are some good influences in our lives that we need to pay attention to, that we should listen to. But he also says there's some bad influences in our lives that we should guard ourselves against. Look at what he says in verse 12. He says, wisdom will save you from evil people. And in verse 13, he says, they walk in the ways of darkness. There's a pretty strong contrast there, right? In verse 20, he says there are people who walk in the path of the righteous and they should be an influence in your life. But here he says, be on guard against people who walk in the way of darkness. They're going to lead you down a wrong path. So Solomon says there are people in your life who can have a negative influence on you, and that it's really important to protect yourself from the influence and the impact they can have in your life. So last week we said it's really important to listen. And today, what I want to say is it's really important to pay attention who we listen to be careful who we allow to influence us, because there are some people we should listen to, and there are some people we should not listen to. There are people whose influence we should not allow to affect our lives. So let's flesh this out a bit. Who does he say specifically we should avoid allowing to influence us? Who does he tell us to guard against? Let's take a look at what he says in verses 12 through 16. He says, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. These men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked, and their ways are wrong. Wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. So Solomon shows us in these verses that there are people whose influence can be harmful to us. And if we're wise, we will be discerning and protect ourselves from the wrong influences, from those who would pull us away from God and onto a dark and destructive path. So let's take a look, because in these verses, there are four kinds of influences he warns us against. The first one is in verse 12. He says, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Notice that phrase, those whose words are twisted. Jesus said that our words reveal what's in our hearts. And that phrase there, those whose words are twisted, it's literally translated men of perverted speech. Now, in the devotional that I put together, every day there's a horribly intrusive question at the end of the day. Just kind of, you know, hey, how does this apply to me? What do I need to change about myself based on what God's word says? So I'm going to ask a few horribly intrusive questions as we look at these examples. So for this one, men of perverted speech, here's a question to ask ourselves. Are there certain people in your life who, when you're with them, you find yourself speaking in ways you don't normally speak? Using words, using language that you don't normally use. Like whether it's gossip or profanity or dishonesty or using words that are cutting and harmful and hurtful to other people. Maybe there's certain people in your life that when you're with them, it's just something about their presence gives you permission to use what Solomon calls perverted speech. If so, that person is probably a negative influence in your life. And Solomon says that's an influence to guard yourself against, to be aware that that person might be having a negative influence in your life. Here's the next one. In verse 13, he says, these men turn from the right way to walk down dark paths. He says they turn from the right way. That phrase turn from literally means to abandon or forsake. It carries with it the idea of separating yourself from another person. In other words, he's talking about people who have made a choice to reject God, who made a choice to separate themselves, to distance themselves from God. Now, the fact that he says they turn away from, that carries with it the idea that at one time they were walking with God. At one time they were on the right path, but at some point they made a choice, they made a decision, other things became more important, God was pushed aside, and now they're in a place that they never wanted to be. They're walking down the wrong path. They're doing things that they never would have done when they were following Christ. And so he's warned us in verse 12 about being influenced in our words, men of perverted speech. Now he's warning us against being influenced in our actions. So here's the horribly intrusive question with this one. Are there certain people in your life that when you're around them, you find yourself doing things that you wouldn't normally do, excusing behaviors that you wouldn't normally excuse? And maybe it's that thing of when you're with that person, you kind of revert back to doing the things you used to do before you became a follower of Christ. That there's something about their example, there's something about their influence that kind of leads you to believe, maybe I've taken this God thing too far. Maybe I shouldn't really go all out for this Jesus thing. Maybe I can pull back a little bit. And you feel that tug to go back to the old ways and to do the things you used to do before you became a follower of Christ. If so, that person is probably a negative influence in your life. And so Solomon says that's someone to guard against, to guard your heart, because if you allow that person to influence you, you're going to find yourself walking down a dark and destructive path. Here's the next one, verse 14. He says this, they take pleasure in doing wrong, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. When it says they enjoy the twisted ways of evil, that word enjoy literally means to be filled with joy, to be exceedingly glad. So he's talking here about someone who finds pleasure, who delights in, who rejoices in walking in disobedience, who rejoices in doing things that God says not to do. So he's talking here about a thought process, right? About our mindset, an attitude of the heart. So far he's warned us against being influenced in our words and then in our actions. And here he's warning us against being influenced in our thought life. Those are pretty important areas of life, aren't they? And so with this one, as it comes to mindset, the horribly intrusive question is this. Are there certain people in your life that when you're with them, you find yourself adapting a mindset, an attitude towards life, towards morality, towards decision-making that is opposed to what God says? That maybe you find yourself making excuses for things that God says, no, that's wrong, and you should do this instead, but you find yourself making excuses for opposing that, a thought process that has been influenced by that person, that maybe their influence has begun to change your mindset towards what God says is right and holy and good. If so, that person is probably a negative influence in your life. One last one he says, and this is in verse 16, and he says this, wisdom will save you from the immoral woman, from the seductive words of the promiscuous woman. Now, the Bible gives us a lot of warnings about sexual immorality. Proverbs gives a lot of warnings on this issue, and this is a really important issue. And what Solomon says here is, if there's someone who is leading you away from what God says is right sexually, then that person is a negative influence in your life. In the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy, he says, run from sexual immorality. In the Old Testament, Joseph ran out of the house when a woman he was not married to tried to seduce him sexually. He ran away from her, and God blessed him, and God honored him for his obedience. So what does wisdom look like in this area? If you're married, here's what wisdom looks like. Wisdom means if there's that person at work or wherever, and they're flirting with you, and they're tempting you to be unfaithful to your spouse, wisdom means do not walk away from that person. Run away from that person. Get away from that person as quickly and as far as you possibly can, because they are not your friend. They will destroy your life. That includes not only a person, that includes other influences too. Websites, TV shows, movies, books, magazines. Any influence in your life that would tempt you, that would influence you to dishonor your vows, to be unfaithful to your spouse, whether it's in actions or in thoughts, run away from that influence, because that's what wisdom looks like for a person who's married. For a person who's not married, here's what wisdom looks like. Make sure that you're being influenced by what God says is good and positive sexually, instead of what our culture says is good and positive sexually, because those two views are in sharp contrast to each other. So if you want to walk in wisdom, make sure you're allowing what God says on that issue to influence you, instead of what our fleshly desires say or what the culture around us says. That's really important. See, in the New Testament, Paul tells us that God's will for us is that we would avoid sexual immorality and walk in purity. That's God's will for us. So this is an issue that matters to God, and it affects our walk with him as well. So in this passage, Solomon warns us against being wrongly influenced in four really important areas, right? Our words, our actions, our thought life, and our sexuality. Would you agree? Those are pretty big issues. Like that covers a lot of life, doesn't it? And what Solomon tells us here is those are influenced to some degree by the type of people we surround ourselves with. And walking in wisdom means it's important for us to be careful who we allow to influence us in those areas of life. Because for better or worse, the kind of people I surround myself with and the kind of people I choose to listen to, they will have an impact on those areas of my life. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Let me talk for a couple minutes about habits. Last week, I encouraged you to develop good habits. Today, I want to talk for a couple minutes about bad habits. And here's what I want to say about that. If you're here today and you're struggling with a habit that you have been trying to overcome, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a pattern behavior, something that you know is harmful to you and you want to stop doing it, and you've been trying this and trying that and nothing seems to be working, could I suggest it might be helpful to pay attention to who you're spending time with? Because sometimes our circle of friends, the people we allow to influence us, sometimes that can actually hold us back from victory that's available to us. Because there are certain people in our lives who may actually be reinforcing behaviors in us that are negative and harmful and destructive. And their influence on us is basically telling us it's okay to keep doing those things. It's okay to continue those behaviors, even though deep down we know that it's wrong. But they kind of give us permission to keep doing those things. So it could be if you've been trying and nothing has been working, you may have to make some hard decisions about who you spend time with and who you allow to influence you. And for some people, that might be the key to finding victory in whatever habit you've been trying to overcome. Again, Solomon tells us in verse 12 here, he says, "Wisdom will save you from evil people." Walking in wisdom means being discerning about who we allow to influence our words, our thoughts, and our actions. Now, at this point, I think I need to address a question some of you might be asking. And the question probably goes something like this. Are you saying that I shouldn't hang out with people who don't believe the things that I believe? Are you saying that if I'm a Christian, I shouldn't hang out with people who aren't Christians? Are you saying that if somebody's walked away from God, I should avoid that person? Are you saying if somebody's engaged in sinful behavior, they're living a lifestyle that I disagree with, that I should avoid that person and close myself off from them? Is that what you're saying? Absolutely not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. That is not biblical at all. Not in any way. In fact, the sad reality is a lot of churches in the past have made that exact error, to where many churches and even entire denominations have kind of turned into this protective Christian bubble where it's just us Christians against the world, right? We don't want anybody else coming in because they might corrupt us. And so we're just going to protect ourselves. And, you know, it's the holy huddle. And the result is they have no impact at all on the world around them. And they send the message, we think we're better than everyone else. And that is the wrong message to send. And it's the wrong response to take from Solomon's warnings here. Here's the key issue. Please don't miss this. The key issue on all of this issue of influence, the key issue is this: the direction of influence. That's the key issue. What is the direction of influence? In other words, in that friendship with a person who maybe is not a believer, or that person who has turned away from God, that person who is making some really bad, destructive decisions, that person who's doing things that you know are wrong and harmful for them, the question is this: in my relationship with that person, who is influencing who? What is the direction of influence? Is it from me to them, or is it from them to me? Look at Jesus' example, which is always a good practice, isn't it? You ever notice who he hung out with? You ever notice how Jesus only spent time with perfect people? Like the religious people, the super spiritual people, right? And he avoided everyone who was a sinner, right? Wrong. Thankfully, several of you are shaking your heads. That's good. That's not who Jesus was criticized by the religious people because of who he hung out with, right? He spent a lot of time with prostitutes, with tax collectors who were also greedy thieves. He spent a lot of time with people that the religious establishment said, well, they're sinners. You shouldn't spend time. They're unclean. You need to avoid them. And Jesus spent a lot of time with them. Here's the question, though. What was the direction of influence? Did Jesus ever compromise his mission to be accepted? Did Jesus ever compromise his message? Did he ever just go along with the crowd so he could be more popular and get more likes and followers on Facebook or Instagram? No, he never, ever did that. The direction of influence, he understood that, and he demonstrated that for us. And so when he had a conversation with a woman who was living in adultery, what was the direction of influence? The result of that conversation was not that Jesus said, you know what, you're right, I'm going to join in on that. No, the result was she repented of her sin and led an entire town to become followers of Christ. That's the direction of influence. When Jesus had a conversation with Zacchaeus, who was a greedy thief, ripping people off left and right, the result of Jesus spending time with him was not that Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to start doing that too. I want a piece of that action. No, the result was Zacchaeus repented of his sin, gave back everything he had taken, and gave half of his possessions to those living in poverty. That was the direction of influence. When Jesus had a conversation with a murderous guy named Saul of Tarsus, who was on his way to murder a bunch of Christians, the result of that conversation was not that Jesus said, you know what, you're right, let's go kill us some Christians. No, the result was Saul became converted, became the Apostle Paul, wrote half the New Testament, and became the greatest evangelist and church planter of all time. The direction of influence matters. See, Jesus didn't separate himself from people who were sinful and imperfect and struggling, from people who were making really bad life choices. Jesus didn't separate himself from them. He was involved in their lives, but his influence was not neutral, nor was he negatively impacted by them. Because Jesus knew he was here on a mission to impact the lives of other people, and so are we. So an important question to ask ourselves is this. That person who you're friends with, who maybe they're far from God, that person who's making some really bad decisions and it breaks your heart, that person who has turned away and they're kind of losing their passion for Christ and they're in a bad place right now and they're walking down the wrong path. Here's the question. Am I influencing that person or am I being influenced by that person? Am I coming alongside them and helping them to get back onto the right path, or am I allowing them to pull me off of the right path? The direction of influence, it really matters. Some of you are here today because of the influence of another person. Some of you can look around and see people who are here today, who weren't here a year ago, who weren't here just a few months ago, but they're here today learning about God, worshiping together, and they're here today right now because of your influence. That is the direction of influence. Carla shared, and I should have asked permission, but I'm going to do it anyways. Carla shared this picture on Facebook the other day, her grandson sitting there with her in church a couple of weeks ago, and there he's filling out his offering envelope. That's influence, right? That's what influence looks like. Here's a child who sees his grandmother worshiping God through giving. He's like, you know, I want to do that too. Give me one of those envelopes. And he followed her example. See, this is important. We teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. That's why Paul could say, follow me as I follow Christ. And God calls us to have that same kind of positive influence in the lives of others. So, some things to think about. The people in your life who don't know Christ, what can you do to help influence them towards Him? That's an important question to ask and to pray through. The people in your life who are new believers, what can you do to help them grow deeper in their walk with Christ? That's an important question to ask and to pray through. The people in your life who maybe they've drifted. They used to be on fire for God and now they're going back to the old way of life and they're kind of walking away to some degree. What can you do to influence them back onto the right path? Those are important questions to ask. And that leads to the one thing for this week. My goal this year, as I preach, is each week to give you one thing to do. Just one thing. Not a list of 12 things, not, you know, here's a whole bunch of things to work on, just one thing. Here's the one thing for this week. Look for an opportunity to influence someone else. That's the one thing. Look for an opportunity to influence someone else, to intentionally influence another person towards Christ. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If you decide to do that, you're probably going to have to step out of your comfort zone to do that. Here's what it might look like. Let me give you some examples. It might look like praying for someone. But here's what I mean. You're having a conversation with somebody and they share a need. They share a problem they're going through. Maybe instead of saying, well, I'll pray for you, stop right then and there and say, could I pray for you right now? And pray for that need with them there. In other words, you're inviting them into that conversation you have with God about their need. You know what that is? That's influence. Because you're modeling for them what it looks like to have a conversation with God and to invite him into our struggles and into our problems. That's influence. Maybe it's something as simple as posting a verse on Facebook. Something that you came across in your reading that grabbed your attention and you put it out there so that everybody who's a friend of yours, now they can see it and they can be impacted by God's word as well. Maybe it's something like this, sharing Christ with a friend who's not a believer. And say, I just need to tell you what God has done in my life, and I want to share with you how you can have a life-changing relationship with him as well. Maybe it's stepping into the life of someone who's a new believer. They haven't been discipled. They've got a lot of questions, and it's you stepping in and mentoring that person, discipling them, helping them to work through what it looks like to grow in Christ and to follow Christ. Maybe it's inviting someone who doesn't come to church. Inviting them to come with you or to come to men's group, to come to women's group, to come to youth group, inviting them to come and to be a part of what God is doing here. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's sending an encouraging note to someone. Like we talked last week about every day, start the day by reading one chapter a day, just one chapter. Read a chapter and let God speak to you through his word. So maybe as you hear from the Holy Spirit, as you learn from him and receive from him, there's something he shares with you that's not just for you. But it's for you to share with someone else. And so you call that person up or you send them a text or you get together and say, hey, I just got to show this to you. God spoke to me. God showed me this. And I just felt like I needed to share this with you because I thought it would encourage you. I thought this would be helpful for you. You know what that is? That is influence. Maybe it's sharing something that God has done in your life. An answer to prayer that you've seen or some way that God, just one of those daily reminders that God is with you and that God loves you and you tell somebody else about it. You have no idea what impact that might have. And I'm just going to say this, because from time to time we have an opportunity in the service where we say, hey, has anybody got anything that, just share with us something good, something God has done in your life, an answer to prayer or something where God has shown you his love. Just share it with us. And we have opportunities like that. Usually I do that after I've heard from several people over a couple of weeks of, man, God did this and God answered this prayer. And so I open up the floor and dead silence. Nobody says a word, right? And every time we do this, I have conversations. I can't tell you how many people come up to me afterwards and they're like, I should have said something. I God did this and I wanted to say something. I was just afraid. You know who you are. A whole bunch of you have done that, right? I wanted to, but I was just afraid. It's like, we're all friends here, right? It's all good. Nobody's going to throw, rotten tomatoes at you or anything like that. But here's the thing. You may have to step out of your comfort zone. And here's why. It could be that what God did in your life and what you could share that day might be exactly what somebody here needed to hear. Maybe what they needed to hear had nothing to do with Dave standing up here and yammering on for 35 minutes. Maybe what they needed to hear was that story from your life, how God answered prayer, how God encouraged you, how God walked you through a difficult time. Maybe that message could be the influence, the impact that somebody else really needed to hear. So look for opportunities, whether it's here in a public setting like this or just in everyday life, to share with someone else what God is doing in your life, what he's teaching you, how he's leading you, how he's changing you. Here's the big idea. Step out of your comfort zone. Because sometimes the best growth in our life happens when we step out of our comfort zone. And that way you can be an influence in someone else's life. So that's the one thing this week. Look for an opportunity to intentionally influence someone else closer to Christ. And it's important because Solomon reminds us all through chapter 2 here. And we see it every day in our lives. There are 1,000 negative influences out there, aren't there? Forces at work to pull people away from God, off of the right path, into a dark and destructive place. We see it happening every day all around us. But the good news is, you and I, we get to have a say in that. because we have the opportunity to be that positive influence in someone's life, to step outside of our comfort zone, step into their life, show them God's love, speak that word of encouragement, pray that prayer of faith, and be that godly influence that just might save someone from being dragged onto the wrong path. Is it uncomfortable? Yep, it is. Is it costly? Sometimes. But is it worth it? 100%. Absolutely worth it. So that's the one thing this week. Look for an opportunity to intentionally influence someone else towards Christ. So God, I want to thank you this morning that honestly every one of us is here right now because of the influence of another person. Because someone stepped into our lives and said something or did something that pointed us to you. And I thank you for that. I pray that you'll help us to be intentional. First of all, about guarding our hearts, being aware of the direction of influence, so that we're in no way pulled away from you, but that we would be focused on following hard after you, and that we would be focused on sharing your love with those around us and being that influence that they really need. God, be our strength and be our encouragement this week. And we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys ready to sing?
Let's do it.
Three of you are. Okay, let's sing one closing song. Let's all stand together.